Support for NPR comes from MetLife Foundation, committed to promoting healthy families and good nutrition, on the web at MetLife.org.
WCVE Public Radio. Jeff Shapiro joins us now from the Richmond Times-Dispatch for his weekly analysis of Virginia political news. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi there, Wayne.
Well, this week, a hit and a miss for Governor McDonnell in the General Assembly. His transportation plan passed in the House of Delegates, but his liquor store privatization plan appears to be at a dead end.
Yes. Now, transportation looks like a hit for the governor. The Senate Democrats, who had been spoiling for a fight on this issue when they arrived in Richmond on the 12th of January, seem to have been brought to heel. So it looks like the governor is going to get his way with a package that's largely financed with bonds. That's a five-letter word for debt, about $3 billion in bonds. And there are still some sticking points here over how much money should be taken from the general fund. That may not mean a lot to a lot of listeners, but let's put it this way. It's that portion of the budget that supports schools, law enforcement, and welfare. And that is an issue that needs to be resolved. ABC, privatization, getting the state out of the liquor business, it dies without as much as a vote. A reminder that a Republican governor, for that matter, a governor of either party often can run into problems with his own party, and that was really one of the big obstacles for Bob McDonald. The Republicans in the House didn't like the idea for any number of reasons, among them cultural conservatives who are prevalent in the countryside, rather like the status quo, and lawmakers in both parties rather like spending the $250 million a year in profits and taxes produced by ABC stores. So the governor says he's going to go at it again. It's not clear whether there's going to be a lot of interest or momentum behind this idea going forward.
Some census figures are out. There are now 8 million of us Virginians. What will that mean in terms, first of all, of redistricting the legislature and congressional district seats, but also as far as demands for state services are concerned?
Well, the head count is complete, as you point out. There are now 8 million plus Virginians. This is all about, in the end, all about legislative power, state legislative power and congressional power. And what these new numbers indicate is that even more power is shifting to the suburbs. The growth has been spectacular, as usual, in Northern Virginia. About 55% of the increase in our population is in the Washington suburbs alone. All of this is very bad news for rural Virginia, and there are a number of rural legislators in both parties who are perhaps looking at extinction, largely because of the manner in which lines are drawn. Now, the wild card in all of this is because of this state's history of racial discrimination. Whatever lines are put in place have to be approved by the Justice Department or a federal judge. So it may not be a very clean and tidy process. There could be a few wild cards going forward. And, of course, with all of these additional bodies, there will be even greater demand for services. Transportation, schools. If you will, there's an argument to be made, and this has been made by a number of Republican legislators, too, that growth, while good, doesn't necessarily pay the bill.
We have 2.5 minutes almost to go. Some people in state government want to change the way the state provides retirement pensions for its workers, but that seems to be kind of at a standoff at this point.
Right. The bottom line here, Wayne, is that the retirement system has a $17 billion hole in it. And there are a couple of reasons for that, the ups and downs of the market, and because the fund has been shorted in recent years by the General Assembly. And it didn't help that last year, Bob McDonnell, along with the legislature, raided the pension fund of $620 million, and that was used to close that big hole in the state budget. Now, the House has some ideas about how to fix this problem. The Senate kills them, or has killed them, and so it's not clear what ideas the Senate will be putting forward. It's possible that this Sunday, when the money committees roll out their respective versions of the state budget, that the Senate draft will include some steps to set right the retirement system.
Ken Cuccinelli wants the U.S. Supreme Court to take up the health care case and more or less skip the appeals court process.
Yes, and a lot of this has to do with what happened in Florida earlier this week. A federal judge down there ruled that the entire health care reform law is unconstitutional, unconstitutional, unlike the federal judge here in Richmond who ruled that part of it was. The attorney general is doing a very good job of keeping his name in the news and setting the agenda, and one suspects that's what this is all about. Of course, this is the same week in which the state Senate, where the Democrats are in charge, are moving to rein in the attorney general and limit his investigative powers. This is all a response, of course, to that climate change inquiry by Cuccinelli up at UVA.
We have about 40 seconds, Jeff. The two Virginia U.S. senators in Washington were both opposed to the Republican attempt to roll back the health care law.
Yes, Jim Webb voting against the Republicans. Mark Warner missing that vote because of a family emergency, but issuing a very strong statement in the Congressional Record saying that if this were to succeed, if this Republican effort were to succeed, it could take us back to the status quo, and Warner says that is not an option. Of course, Webb, looking at a possible re-election campaign in 2012, was hammered immediately by the Republicans for his vote with the Democratic majority.
Thanks to Jeff Shapiro at the Richmond Times-Dispatch for his Friday morning analysis of Virginia political news. Talk to you next week, Jeff.
Ciao.
Thanks. It's 8:40.